All right. Well, 1 John chapter 4, we're continuing in 1 John. We're getting there, you know, getting halfway through chapter 4, and then we'll just have chapter 5 to go. We've been learning some great truths in God's Word together, haven't we? I don't know about you all, but I've really enjoyed doing the studies and learning, you know, what John was combating here in the Gnostics, you know, and John here being, again, as I told you, we'll call it in his advanced age, okay? But man, what great truths he is writing here in combating these false teachers, these false prophets, these antichrists. Well, or it will be on. Well, I was going to try to make it through chapter or verse 6, but I didn't get that far. So we'll be on 4 and 5 tonight. But why don't we start at verse 1 just, and we'll read all the way through 6. So 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now if you remember in verses 1, 2, and 3, John is talking, writing here to for us, the church, to test, you know, do not just believe every spirit, every teaching, but to test the spirits. Test the one who is teaching. And what's important about that? Why do we need to test the spirits? Sorry? Okay, false prophets, false teachers out there. Okay, so if we just sit there under a teaching and accept it, oh yeah, he's a preacher, you know, he must know the truth, you know, I'll take what he's saying, you know, as truth. No, we need to test it. And how do we do that? But by knowing the Word of God, being students of the Word, having our noses in our precious Bible, so that when we hear something that's not right, we know. Okay? And anytime we hear teachings, we should always test it with the Word of God. Not with our own opinions, not with our own feelings, but we test it with the Word of God. Right? What else is there to test it with? Nothing. Okay? And he goes on to say, you know, many false prophets are out in the world. Okay? And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. What was important about that? Okay, what were the Gnostics teaching and professing? Do we remember? Okay, they taught, again, that the matter, flesh, was evil. Spirit was good. Okay, so if Christ came in the flesh, then his flesh would have been evil. So they said that it only appeared as if he had a physical body. Okay, so John's still, all throughout 1 John, he's combating that. Okay, so here he says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Okay, so now to our text, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Okay, so in verse 4 he says, he's saying you, okay, he's speaking to believers, you are of God. That is, you are his children, as John has referred back in chapter 3, and which Josh referred to earlier, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And remember, this is John the Beloved, okay? The one whom Christ loved, one of the sons of thunder. And remember, John is still amazed by this truth, that he is a child of God. Even John, stop and think about that a second, okay? John, who had one of the most intimate times with Christ, okay? Even he is amazed of this great truth of that he is of God. He is a child of God. We too should be amazed and grateful and thankful that we are of God. We are a child of God Almighty. Amen? Amen. Wow, you know. How amazing that is. You know, again, even John is amazed by it. And we should never, you know, it's not like in a couple of years we're like, you know, a couple of years ago I was amazed by it, you know, but now I'm used to it. I'm a child of God. May it never be. Amen. You know? Until the Lord takes us home, whether by death or whatever, until we're made holy and perfect in heaven, every day we wake up, we should be amazed and thankful to know that you and I are of God, children, sons and daughter of the Holy One. We belong to Him. We are His. You are of God, John is saying here. Little children. Okay? Now, he refers, remember, a few times, being the father here to, you know, he is like their spiritual father, okay? So, a few times he writes little children, okay? Sometimes in the Greek it actually meant a little child, okay? But other times, does anyone remember what it referred to? Term of endearment, okay? So here, you are of God, little children. Here, it's a term of affection by a teacher to his disciples, a term of endearment, okay? So this is John speaking as a spiritual father to these people here, okay? You are of God, my little precious ones, little children. Okay, term of affection here, okay? So what is he going to tell them here? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Okay? Now, what word is used here? Them. Okay? So plural. Okay? So who do you think he's referring back to here? False prophets. Okay? False prophets. Okay? You, little children, you who are of God, have overcome them. What is it that these false prophets were trying to do, and even today in our society, are trying to do? Deceive, right? They're trying to deceive, even the elect, if it were possible. But they have all these doctrines that they're coming up with and teaching and twisting the Word of God, and even out there today, we know that they are out there. All you have to do is turn on channel 23 and you'll see a few of them. Or some of them are on the radio station. Or even in some so-called churches. You know, some of them ride around on their bikes and they come knocking on your door. False prophets, false teachers, they are out there even today. In fact, they're going to be out there. Okay? So they're out there trying to deceive, to lead astray, to lie, to devour. How? By their teachings. Okay? No need to worry, though, for we have overcome them. good for us, right? Man, we sure did a great job. We overcame them. Wrong. Is there anything within ourselves that we could conjure up our own strength to overcome Satan's people, these false teachers? Can I say to God, God, I got this one. I'll handle this one, God. You can just, you know, relax. I'm breaking in the knuckles here. No. So what is he saying here? He is, you are of God, little children, and we have overcome them. Okay, let's continue on. How is it that we have overcome them? Keep reading. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Oh, well, who is in us? God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Right? He dwells in us. And God in us is greater than them. Because he is in us, we have overcome them. Don't be confused in thinking there was something good enough in you or strong enough in you to think that you can overcome them by yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself lest you fall. Mm-hmm. Only by God's strength do you stand. What did we sing tonight? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other else is sinking sand. What a great song to go along with this. Calvin writes this. There is a great consolation that with whatever wiles Satan may assail us, we shall stand through the power of God. We have to understand that if it were really up to us, guys, to our strength, then we would fail. Mm-hmm. We would fall on our faces. And more than likely, we would be caught up in the devil's traps, in his schemes, in his wind of doctrines. We would be like the world, the rest of the world, caught up right along with them, if it were up to us. Praise the Lord. That God would be in us, would dwell in us, that would abide in us, and that He is greater. Amen? God, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, is greater. He is stronger, larger. He is more. Literally is what that means there. He is more. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And in that context it's saying, is there anything that shall separate us from the love of God? And the answer is no. Absolutely not. For if God is for us, who can be against us? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Leads us in triumph in Christ. Again, I'll quote Calvin. But in this whole spiritual warfare, this thought ought to dwell in our hearts, that it would be all over with us immediately were we to fight in our own strength. Immediately, we would be done. Ring the bell. But that as God repels our enemies while we are reposing, victory is certain. Because God does not fall short. His strength is the strength. He is great. He is large. He is more. There is no one who stands against God. And so if you are a beloved, if you are a child of God, if the God, the Holy Spirit, abides in you, He is greater than those in the world, than the false teachers, than the false prophets, and has overcome them. The victory is in the cross. And God will never leave you or forsake you. If you are His, He will keep you. Remember that John is talking about the false prophets earlier mentioned. Okay, verse 5 then. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. They, being the false teachers, are of the world, children of Satan. And because of this, they speak as according to the world. Okay? They speak according to the world, not according to the precious word, but according to the world. That is, they draw the matter of their conversations, their teachings, from the life, opinions, and feelings of the world. According to the views and principles of the superstitious and ungodly men of the world. Not according to God's holy world. On the contrary, they're fitting right into what the world has to say. Who, you know, they know that they're not going to be able to deceive the elect, although they will still try, okay? And there's many who fill the pews in churches today who call themselves Christians, yet they get caught up in all these winds of doctrines, thus proving that maybe they're not really Christians after all. For they fall prey to these trickeries. And see, who else are these false teachers going to appeal to? To God's elect? To children of God? No, because children of God are busy doing what? Testing. They know the Word of God. It's written upon their hearts. And so they're battling that. They're saying, that is not right, for this is what the Word of God says. Exactly what John is doing with the Gnostics, right? So they're out there appealing to the world. You know? They do Satan's biddings throughout the world in which Satan is the prince of. And it doesn't stop here, because what does the world do to these people? And the world, what? Hears them. The world hears them. The Greek is akouo. And it means to hear, perceive with ears, to hear effectually, or so as to perform or grant what is spoken, to obey. So, they're obeying what these false prophets are teaching. And who is leading these false prophets? Whose works are they doing? Satan. So these people, the world, they're falling prey. The hook, line, and sinker. They're obeying what these false teachers are teaching. Thus proving earlier when it says, it is evident, is manifest, if you're a child of God or a child of the devil. Albert Barnes writes, The people of the world, the gay, the rich, the proud, the ambitious, the sensual, receive their instructions and recognize them as teachers and guides. These false teachers, these false prophets, the world sees them as the spiritual leaders, guides. You know, he's the one I go to for wisdom and knowledge. And that's how I know how to live my life. It continues then. They go to them for their views according with their own. What does that sound like? Tickling of the ears. What I want to hear. A professedly religious teacher, man, always determined much about himself by knowing what class of people are pleased with him. A professed Christian of any station in life may determine much about his evidences of piety, that is, devotedness to God, by asking himself what kind of persons desire his friendship and wish him for a companion. And we too should ask ourselves that. What type of people are wanting to be our friends? Are wanting to have companionship with us? Is it the world that we're drawing? Is it the world that sees us and says, that person looks cool. I want to be like him. I want to be his friend. I want to hang out with that person. What's wrong with that picture then? You see, the world should see us and what? Hate us. Why? Because they hated our Savior. And they will hate us. The world should not want to be our friend. So what a thought-provoking question this is. Who is it that is trying to be our friend, that is desiring to have companionship with us, to hang out with us? Is it the world? Okay. John 15:19 says this, and I'll close with, and we know this, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's okay. That's okay if the world hates us, right? Is anyone in here depressed because the world hates us? You should not be. You should not be at all. You should be concerned about what does God think? How am I living my life before a holy God? A God who gives me my next breath. Do I love Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I obey His commands? Do I keep them? Is His Word written upon my heart that I might not sin against Him? Do I love Him and love the brethren? Do I die to myself that I can serve each other, the ones whom God has placed around me? Am I desiring to fit in with the world and be its companion, its friend? Or am I looking at it and despising it, seeing how ugly and awful it is, knowing that I was once a part of it, a child of wrath, and God brought me out of it. And now I have hope. Now I have life. Let us remember these truths tonight, little children, that we are, that we have overcome them, the false prophets, the false teachers, because God, who abides in us, is greater than them. and has defeated them. You guys, Satan is a defeated foe. He is defeated. And God, who lives in us, is greater than them. Now, that doesn't mean that you can relax and say, well, victory's won, I can relax now. No need to read my Bible. Come on. Remember. Remember. A child of God longs to be in His Word. Because it's life. It's so precious. There is no relaxing. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what great truths that we find throughout Your Word. All we have to do is pick it up and open it and read and pray and meditate upon Your Holy Word. And we find great truths. We find life. We find everything we need. We find who You are. We find it is what we need to do, how we need to live, how we need to serve. May it be said of us, Father, that we are students of Your Holy Word, that we are washing in it daily, that it is fulfilling its work in our lives, that it is molding us and shaping us into Your glorious image, that we would be becoming more and more like You daily as we meditate upon Your Holy Word. Father, we thank You that through You, through Your Son dying on the cross for our sins, that we have victory. Through You, we have overcome them. Thank You, Father. For we do not stand, but You stand. Not by might, but by Your power. All glory is Yours. And we thank You, Father. May these truths abide in us. May we ponder them as we leave here tonight, knowing that God who dwells in us has overcome the false teachers of today that are out there. And what comfort that is, Father. Knowing that they are of the world, and we are not. God has brought us up out of the world, has quickened us, made us alive, and called us children of God. What an honor, what a privilege, what an amazing love that we could be called children of God. Father, I pray that the rest of the night, that our speech, that our words would reflect what we learn, that our fellowship would be God-honoring, Father. Always. Not just on Friday nights or Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, but every day, that our speech would be edifying to one another and God-glorifying. Thank You for this food that You have provided for us. And it's by the authority of Jesus' name. Amen.